Our observance of Lent would be really lacking if we didn't spend some time focusing on the theme of mercy. And indeed, this season of prayer and fasting and almsgiving urges us to work on becoming more merciful, more patient with others, more accepting of the faults of others, less judgmental, less resentful, and more forgiving. But here's the thing, it's not just a matter of working harder, trying harder. We have to realize that the only way that we can become more merciful in our dealings with other people is by having an ever more deep and authentic experience of God's mercy toward us. So that has to be our primary focus. Yes, we want to grow in mercy for others, but that means that first we must experience more deeply God's mercy for us. And that could mean doing something practical. For example, just making an examination of conscience every day, making sure that we pray a good act of contrition before bed. It could mean taking advantage of opportunities to go to confession, even if we're not aware of any mortal sins that we've committed. It could mean simply reading and praying with scriptures that speak to us about the undying and unconditional love and mercy of God. But some of the work may also involve taking down some of the obstacles that we place between ourselves and the mercy of God. And one of those has to do with vulnerability. It's interesting. Sometimes we go to great lengths to have other people think that our household is in order. I think of times when I've been expecting company at the rectory, and I look at the living room and I say, I can't let them see this. So everything gets shoved in other places where I think company is not going to venture in. Because I don't want them to think that I am a slob or that I am always living in a mess. We like for other people to think that our lives are in control and that everything is just perfectly in place. There have been times when people have stopped by unannounced and I've welcomed them into the home and I have felt very vulnerable as they've looked around and seen piles of papers here and there and yesterday's dishes still by the sink. But that was a good experience. It was a good experience because it was real and it was honest. And it lets people see I'm a real person too. So, if you want me to come over, by the way, you don't have to clean house. I'll be happy to come and meet you where you are. But we have to be real with each other, right? You know, we don't need to put up false pretenses that make it look like we've got everything in proper order. Because the reality is, every one of us has something that we're dealing with. We're working through. But sometimes we apply this kind of reasoning to our relationship with God. When we pray, maybe we're talking about kind of surface level things. And God does want us to talk to Him about what's going on in our life. God wants us to ask for guidance regarding this situation or that, or how to work on resolving a conflict with someone or disagreement. But Jesus doesn't come and knock on our door and want to have a conversation standing on our porch. He wants to come in and start a conversation about getting the living room cleaned up, everything put in order. And he wants to help with that. See, perfection is not a prerequisite for being a friend of God. Perfection is the result of a long life lived in relationship and friendship with God. So we're fooling ourselves if we think that God doesn't know all that's going on in our lives. If we just sort of try to stay at that surface level in our conversations with God, we're missing out. We're giving ourselves maybe a false sense of security. What the Lord asks is that we would truly bear all to Him and be completely vulnerable, recognizing that He knows us well. You know, something happens in a relationship when a person finds out our secrets, right? Something changes. Look at the gospel passage. Jesus and the woman at the well are having this conversation about the water, and it's kind of surface level, but Jesus does start talking about living water and never having to thirst again. And then the zinger comes, right? Go get your husband and bring him back. I don't have a husband. Surface level. I don't have a husband. Jesus says, you're right in saying you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. Ooh. I can imagine what the woman felt in that moment. And it probably wasn't a great feeling. She felt really vulnerable in that moment. But here was also a moment where she realized He kept talking to her. He kept offering her living water. He didn't judge her for having had five husbands. He loved her. He accepted her. I was thinking about 15 years ago when I was in the process of applying to the seminary. This was right as all of the sexual abuse scandal was breaking and all of that. So the screening was pretty rigorous. Thankfully, it's good, as it should be. So I went through hours and hours of interviewing with a psychologist and did tests that had hundreds and hundreds of questions to answer. And so at the end of it, it was like, they knew everything that there was about Kenny St. Hilaire. And I felt like I was in a place of great vulnerability, especially in the time between taking those tests and doing all that interviewing and hearing back whether I was going to be accepted as a seminarian for the diocese. So it's like I'm out there on a limb, right? You're vulnerable. They know all about you. What happens? Well, ultimately, obviously, I was accepted as a seminarian. And it was interesting, though, to note that because the rector of the seminary at that time knew everything about me, there was a stronger bond of friendship. There was a greater depth in that relationship than there would have been if I just wandered in and presented my surface level, you know, everything is great and my whole life is just spick and span. Something happens when we enter into that place of vulnerability. That's where the Lord invites us to go. But we don't have to be afraid that the Lord is going to reject us in knowing all about us. All we have to do is look at the crucifix. We realize that He died for us. That's the extent of His love. He's willing to choose to die so that we might have new life. We don't look at the cross and say, well, Jesus was able to go to His death on the cross because He thought we were just this really good and robust and sinless and holy and righteous people. So we thought we were good enough to die for. We had earned that. No. He knew us. He knew everything about us. He knew our past and our future. He knew all of our struggles and brokenness and our weakness and our faults and our good and our love. He chose to die for us as we really are. So maybe if we're trying to grow in our mercy for others and our experience of God's mercy for us, and part of our prayer is just coming before the Lord and being vulnerable with Him. We can pray, Lord, You know me. You know where I've been. You know everything I've done. You know where I am now. You know what I struggle with here. You know my weaknesses, my faults. You know that I am sincere, Lord, in wanting to love You. Help me, Lord, to know how You accept me, how You welcome me, how You love me without measure. Help me to live in that reality, Lord, and to have full confidence in You, that I don't have to earn Your love, I don't have to earn Your mercy or forgiveness. It's already been given. I just have to receive it. We pray to the good Lord today for the grace to experience that mercy deeply, deeply, deeply. And being transformed by that mercy, we might extend it to all those around us.